Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ever Ready Industries India Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 conference call hosted by Adfactors PR. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mansi Vodas from Adfactors. Thank you, and over to you, Mansi.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Ever Ready Industries India Limited's Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Anirban Banerjee, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vivek Agarwala, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anirban Ghosh, GM Finance and Head of Investor Relations. Before we commence, let me share the standard disclaimer. Some of the statements that may be made on today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed communication in this regard is available in the earnings presentation that has been circulated to you earlier and also available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Banerjee to share his perspective with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mansi. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Ever Ready Industries earnings call for the third quarter of FY26. I trust you've had the opportunity to review our financial results and the investor presentation. I will focus my remarks on the operating environment, our performance during the quarter, balance sheet priorities, and how we are positioning the company for the medium term. The quarter played out in a mixed but gradually stabilizing demand environment. Urban consumption remained selective, while rural demand remained relatively stable, supported by post-monsoon cash flows, improving agri realizations, and festive season spillovers. Consumer spending continued to remain skewed towards essential and value-added categories, with discretionary spends staying measured. On the cost side, while the headline retail inflation remained benign, global commodity markets witnessed renewed volatility during the quarter. Zinc prices moved higher, and the US dollar strengthened, leading to elevated input cost pressures across the manufacturing sector. These factors required a careful balance between pricing actions, cost management, and working capital discipline. Against this backdrop, I'm pleased to highlight that Q3 for the financial year FY26 marks the fifth consecutive quarter of revenue growth for Ever Ready. To put this in context, the company delivered robust growth in both revenue and EBITDA at 10.1% and 13%, respectively, driven primarily by the batteries business growing 11.1% in quarter three, even as certain categories faced near-term softness. This performance reflects the strength of our core portfolio and the execution measures undertaken over the last few quarters to stabilize the business and rebuild momentum. The batteries business continued to anchor performance and remained the primary growth driver during the quarter. The overall quarter value share was held at 51.9%, while the zinc battery share stood at 58.3%. alkaline volume shares continued its upwards trajectory, reaching almost 19% in December 25. Growth was broad-based across core categories, supported by our distribution reach, brand equity, and continued consumer preference for reliable offerings. As of December end, we remain present in 4.7 million retail outlets, reflecting a 3% growth compared to the same period last year. The alkaline portfolio continued to gain traction, growing at almost close to 72%, aided by increasing usage of power-intensive devices. Carbon zinc volumes remain stable, benefiting from rural recovery and our deep reach across smaller towns and rural markets. During the year, we undertook calibrated price increases across select battery categories to address sustained input cost inflation. While part of the benefit flowed through during the quarter, the balance impact is expected to accrue over the coming periods. Elevated zinc prices and currency movements were mitigated through effective hedging and disciplined cost controls, enabling us to protect operating performance without materially impacting volumes. In the flashlight segment, the quarter saw overall softness, driven largely by moderation in the battery-operated category, reflecting a certain category maturity. However, the rechargeable flashlights continued to see steadier demand in line with industry trends, with more than 50% of our portfolio share in the quarter coming from rechargeables, which remains a key focus area for us as consumer preferences shift towards value-added formats. Regulatory developments such as mandatory implementation of BIS certification are expected to support medium-term growth for organized players by accelerating formalization within the category from next year. We are also happy to announce that the company filed a patent application for the first time for its rechargeable flashlight known as the Hybrid. The lighting business continued its gradual recovery during the quarter, growing 10.5% in value, aided by strong underlying volume growth. While the broader LED category remains structurally competitive with ongoing price pressures, our focus on portfolio upgradation is beginning to show results. A higher mix of value-accretive SKUs such as the high-watt LED bulbs, accessories, and consumer luminaire supported improved realizations. Professional and institutional lighting saw selective softness during the latter part of the quarter, though underlying demand fundamentals remain intact. During the quarter, the company launched its mightiest battery ever. Lithium AA and AAA home batteries under the Ultima brand offer up to 15 times longer life within high-intense devices. We continue to invest in focused, targeted brand-building initiatives across both physical and digital channels, aligned with key consumption periods and category priorities. Our marketing strategy remains efficiency-driven, designed to enhance brand salience while supporting the adoption of new products across batteries, flashlights, and lighting. From an execution standpoint, manufacturing operations remain stable and uninterrupted throughout the quarter. Progress at the Jammu alkaline battery facility is on track for completion by the end of the current fiscal year. The project will be first of its kind to promote made in India alkaline batteries and to improve the margin profile by almost 10% in this segment with supply chain resilience over the long term. The facility is expected to play a strategic role in supporting premiumization and margin improvement for the EverReady battery portfolio. Strengthening the balance sheet remains a key priority for us. During the quarter, net debt reduced to 317 crores post investment of 167 crore in the Jammu alkaline facility. Despite elevated zinc and dollar prices during the quarter, we managed our operating margins well with prudent commercial discipline across receivables, inventory and payable front. We contained net working capital to less than 15% of revenue. In the quarter, the board approved this investment of a divestment of a non-core land parcel at Noida. This is a strategic step aimed at enhancing financial flexibility and debt reduction. During the quarter, the company also initiated stock scheme under employee stock options plan. We view ESOPs as an important mechanism to align long-term employee interests with shareholder value creation to support leadership continuity. To summarize, quarter 3 FY26 reflects steady progress across our core priorities. We have delivered another quarter of growth in a challenging environment, strengthened our balance sheet, maintained operational discipline, and continued to invest in strategic capabilities. While near-term conditions remain dynamic, we believe Eveready is better positioned today than it was a year ago in terms of execution readiness, financial flexibility, and strategic clarity. The company is well poised to continue the growth momentum going forward with a keen eye on driving premiumization. With that, I will now hand over to the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
So shall we open the floor for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from line of Arnav Sakuja, Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my first question is that year on year we had around a 150 basis points fall in the gross margin. So what were some of the reasons for this?
So basically what happened, you know, if you compare the cost of the material, which was zinc and the dollar and other materials, so during this period, the cost, while we increased the price, the cost increase was much higher than the price increase. So that is why you could see there is a marginal dip, but this is a seasonal factor, and I think going forward it will neutralize.
So was there any factor of change in the product mix as well, or was it just the zinc and dollar prices that caused the reduction in the gross margins?
No, so the two parts to it. So you know, absolutely right that there was you know, strengthening of the commodity prices, which is one of the key factors. There is a bit also of the fact that as some of the other categories, you know, start strengthening itself, there was a bit of a dilution from a quarter by quarter point of view. But I think it is only in the short term. Some of these will stabilize over the long term, and we look at improving margins, given that a lot of the subsegments that we are currently driving are towards premium positions, which definitely have a better margin profile.
Right. And with regards to the disinvestment of the non-core land parcel in Noida, would it be possible to quantify some of the benefits that we can receive from this over the next couple of years maybe?
So I think the first foremost at this point of time, we got an in-principle approval because as you are all waiting for this and there was an embargo there. So in the last quarter only the embargo was lifted and then board immediately took the decision to realign the all manufacturing capabilities basis the need. And now the principal guideline go ahead has been given. The primary objective will be at this point with this realization to reduce the debt. The primary, I'm not seeing the flows. The primary objective will be debt reduction. And then of course some opportunity comes up that will be a later stage at this point.
Okay, thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. If you could provide the number for the advertisement expense this quarter, it would be helpful. And the second question I had was on quick commerce. If you could tell us what was the percentage of sales coming from the quick commerce channel this quarter?
So our total ad pro for the quarter stood close to about 41 odd crores, right? Which is a fair mix of ATL and BTL. As far as our e-commerce business is concerned, so close to about 4 to 5% of the revenue would be coming to from e-commerce. It is important to note that close to about 55% of the entire e-commerce business today is housed under the quick commerce segment, which has seen a tremendous growth over the last 1 year. Does
thanks
that answer your question?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Priyank Chheda from Alam Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Would it be possible to tell me what was the absolute volumes in terms of million batteries sold for carbon and alkaline as well as YOY growth?
So we, approximately on a YTD basis for the year, we would be somewhere short of a billion batteries, both put together.
And how would that be compared to YOY YTD?
So that would be typically a growth of about 4 to 4.5% over the prior year, same period.
And it includes carbon and alkaline both.
That's correct. So so it includes both volume growths in the carbon zinc and in the alkaline battery segment.
Got it. And roughly, if one were to dissect this carbon versus alkaline separately, carbon would have been flat and alkaline would have contributed the incremental 4-5% of the growth. Is that the right understanding?
You could potentially say that it is a 50-50 mixture, right? I mean, while you would the zinc saliency of the total itself would be more than 90%, and thus that would have a huge weight even with lower volume growths. But the alkaline also, as I mentioned, grew aggressively over 74%. So even though the saliency is lower, the absolute volumes between the two of them could be parted half-half.
Perfect. Coming to the second question on the pricing outcomes that we are seeing with respect to the raw material, two questions onto this. One, how much of the pricing have we taken this quarter, and how much is left to be taken for us to go back to the normalized gross margin level? And second, on the market impact, given this pricing elevation that we have seen, what happens to the industry which has a rest of the 48% of the market share? Do you find the players finding it difficult to cope up with the profitability due to the raw material pricing increase?
So to your first question, we have picked up prices in our premium portfolios, right? Both in the zinc side of it and in the alkaline side of it. And while we have just picked it up at the end of the quarter three, I see the impact panning out much further during the course of this quarter and the new financial year as well. That being said, the zinc prices continue to remain right at the top, right? And thus, will there be more corrections needed if zinc continues the way it is over the quarter? Maybe. And it might impact some of the popular and the economy segment of zinc as well. That being said, I think it's a very interesting question as to what would be the impact of the reaction on the balance 48% of the market. I mean, it should ideally move in line with the raw material price increases, and thus, given that the Ever-Ready brand is a category leader, is definitely showing the direction.
Got it. My third question on the Jammu facility, once it's operational, say by next quarter end, what would be the ramp-up schedule kind of a thing that we should think of it over next 1 to 3 years? If you can guide, that would be great.
So we expect to start at least definitely 25%-30% capacity utilization at the beginning of the year immediately, because it is a very high sizable capacity plant, and we are looking for all sort of an opportunity. And definitely by the year two, we'll try to get it more than 40%-50% we'll be trying to go in the next 2 years of that utilization.
Got it. And if I may add one more question to this, on the overall portfolio, if I have to see, other than lighting products and batteries, we were planning to, have a very different product launches which can be cross-sold into our own distribution channel. We have been waiting for you to call out what would be those another big hit products that we can leverage from our distribution system. That would be my last question. Thank you.
So currently, we've launched, other than core of batteries, flashlights, lighting products, we had forayed into mosquito rackets last year, and which has seen a good traction across our channels in the current year. In the current year itself, we have forayed into mobile accessories, which we have currently pushed in and are looking good in the e-commerce channel, and we are yet to bring it to our traditional channels. Within our core, I think we've pushed up lithium batteries to strengthen some of our, battery portfolios, and flash being hybrid and a couple of other flashlight launches has been consistent. Lighting has its own NPDs pushed out, but that belongs to the core. I think with this, the basket is full as we settle it across the channels. Going forward into the new financial year, we are looking at a few categories more to add depending on the strength some of our current core and new products have added. And I guess as soon as we are in the market with that, you will get to know on how they perform. I hope that answers your question.
It answers what I was looking out for, for a numbers around what can be the size of, say, mobile battery accessories that we wish to, or we may aspire in next 1 or 2 years, or maybe a revenue size on the lithium-ion batteries, or certain other specific products which you think that can be a very good sizable numbers that we are banking on.
So we are all of these have been launched, and as they get traction in the current year, we'll probably be pegging a number on how some of these will grow in the future. But as you can see, that the consolidation of all of these numbers put together is what is today leading us to quarter three stabilizing at more than 10% top line growth. And I hope that sometime in a short future, we should be able to put a much more quantifiable number on what we expect from some of the other new categories in the future course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Ravi Kapoor from Sani Advisory. Please go ahead.
I had two questions. The first one is on the Noida land monetization. So how much value are you expecting from this monetization, and are there any such more monetizations planned ahead?
So I think yesterday only this declaration has been given. So one, we got a one cutoff first guidance from the board that minimum price required for this is to be 250 type of 50 crores. So that indication has been given. And I think this is the first kind of things after the immediate embargo has been happened. Now our rest of the all facilities are very much all operating, working well at this point of time. And if something is come up, we'll be more keen because we are more interested on optimizing our operating expenses because we want to consolidate things. But we have to very closely watch out once our Noida is coming up, how this facility is performing. And but at this point of time, Noida is the facility which we are looking for.
Understood. My second question is, you have achieved a market share of 19%, if I'm correct. What could this number look like, say, by end of FY27?
So, I mean, I can give you what the evidence of the past is. I think between over the last 24 months, in this journey of pushing this new sub-brand called Ultima, which is our foray into alkaline, we've moved the needle by almost about 19%. Right. So going ahead, I think the momentum continues. It'll be difficult to peg exact market share point, but given the past evidence has been continuous growth, I leave it to you to visualize the future.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nano Bhargav from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is that given that your key raw material prices have become very volatile, is it fair to assume that out of this 52% market share, there could be some market share gains maybe in the next 1 year, because few of the unorganized players would not have been able to bear this volatility in zinc prices?
So the battery market of the 199% of the market is organized. And it is a very small set of players. There are typically 4 to 5 players who together hold on to almost close to 99% of a share, and all of them are organized branded players. So thus, the volatility would typically have a bearing on all of us, and each of us to contain it in the manner best suited. We have obviously ensured that we negated it with some amount of calculated price increases in our premium portfolios. And if the momentum of zinc continues even sharply, then I think it will be obvious that one will need to look even at the popular and the economy segment as well. And with that, we obviously, as a leader, we are, you know, provided the headroom for everyone to allow for such price guidance.
So my second question is on the alkaline battery manufacturing plant. So at what levels of revenue can we expect a break even in that factory?
So along with the actually honestly the plant will be a break even from the day one, because we'll also be manufacturing some other products there to ensure that we don't lose the leverage on the production from the day one. So what we are looking for, as you have mentioned, that this plant, because the volume is going to be very high, the way our alkaline is going, it is very heartening that 20 to 30% plant capacity in the year one. And since in the next full year, financial year, we are going to get the utilization. So we are very confident the year one itself will be the break-even, because our operating margins are going to be much better when you do our own manufacturing. That is the 10% operating margin we are looking for better from our domestic manufacturing compared to the import.
Okay. So fair to assume that in the when you hit a 150 crore revenue, maybe in FY27, there won't be any dilution in terms of your overall reported EBITDA margins, which are around 10-11%.
It is fair to assume, but it's too early at this point of time, right? If you see, all metrics are working very good. We have taken a price hike in our Ultima portfolio. Cost of materials are getting reduced. So you, in a fair to assume for you that if price increase and the material cost both are moving favorably, then a point will come, point of convergence, where alkaline, this sale of more alkaline will probably not dilute to the margin. Anybody thinking about that?
Yeah, so I will bring in a point here. I think having had the foresight, and the shareholders having the foresight to put up India's only alkaline plant, very soon coming up, and as Vivek mentioned, on terms of the utilization. When you view this local manufacturing in tandem with the price increases that we have currently taken, and maybe a little bit more in the future, the alkaline batteries in India will be at par with the zinc premium batteries in India. And thus, from a battery portfolio point of view, as long as we continue to hold a large part of the battery market share of premium batteries in India, the portfolio dilution of gross margins looks unlikely, right? And hopefully we should be able to hold in spite of the commodity pressures in the short term.
Sure. In terms of rechargeable batteries, obviously the growth was close to about 8 to 10%. As the BIS benefits start kicking in, do you see this business also coming back to double-digit growth maybe next year?
The rechargeable battery segment...
The flashlight.
Oh, yes. Interesting question. So the BIS mandate came in last year. But the BIS mandate comes in, various time periods for various segments. So for the large players, it was already implemented by July of last year. The last set of MSMEs, etc., the implementation time was end of January. Now is the actual time where one needs to see ground level implementation. Colloquially, yes, if people, you know, who were bringing it from outside will potentially want to bring knockdown kits and assemble it in India and sell it, and having to adhere to all the BIS compliances, that should ideally, if done well by everyone, should ideally make the cost of compliance push up some of the price advantages that the other unorganized players used to have in the pre-BIS era. So one, we are looking forward that as we enter into the season sometime in June, July, August of the new financial year, some of these dynamics and closing price gaps between the branded and the should happen on market. And that should pose a favorable growth stronger than what we've seen earlier for our rechargeable flashlights, because the portfolio is quite wide, from 100 rupees to almost 1,000 rupees, from pocket torches to large size commander torches. I hope that answers your question.
And lastly, any timelines in terms of the monetization of the Noida facility, meaning 1 year, 2 year, any thoughts?
Yes, I think I explained that yes, we are looking in a time-bound monetization of our Noida facility within the next 6 months.
Okay, next 6 months. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Mehul Savla from RW Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, and first congratulations to the Everyday team for the strategy and the efforts put in, because to achieve this growth both in top line and bottom line in a challenging environment is really very credible and satisfactory for us investors, especially when we look at some of the smaller listed players and the pain in their top line and bottom line. So congratulations to the team. I have two questions. One is for the alkaline manufacturing facility, as you said, you know, there is a very large capacity. So apart from, you know, our own brand and other products, is there any plan to manufacture alkaline batteries for third party, white label, you know? And if yes, then what type of brands? Is it like other competitor brands or retailer private label brands? If you can just share some thoughts.
So this factory, as I mentioned, the uniqueness is the only alkaline plant in India and potentially even within the SAARC subcontinent. Thus, interesting question. While, of course, it will feed into our brand definitely and our push towards better margins in alkaline and better shares and propelling India into stronger alkaline chemistry for more intensive, you know, high device penetrations that you will see over the decade in India. But interestingly, this plant and us should have the capability to cater to any white label requirement that arises out of Middle East, Europe, US, or even parts of Africa, etc. So thus not containing it to branded play in India, but to white labeling space across the world, and to white labeling across anyone who decides to launch branded alkaline under their brands in India, we would be more than happy to serve, given that the ability, their ability to source from us will be at an advantageous price position than bringing it from outside India.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks. And so the second is a question and also partly a suggestion that since now the embargo has been lifted on, you know, a dilution or issuance of equity, and, you know, the ESOP is a great move. The other factor is that even after the land sale monetization of Noida, we'll still be sitting on probably about 100 crores of debt. So, and given the promoters holding right now, probably equity issuance may be considered by the company, and whether that is, you know, something being considered? And suggestion is that given that, you know, we have kind of taken all the hard work and reached here at the cusp of, you know, strong growth, that the board and the management, considers any equity dilution at an appropriate premium, if at all that is, contemplated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mehul. Well noted. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from RW Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So very specific question is regarding to the MAT credit which, the company had as of 31st March 2025. One question, sir, was that with this proposed Noida sale, any sort of tax implication on the sale of the surplus land, will the company be able to sort of take use of the MAT credit which the company still holds against this, because that will be a sizable portion of tax which the company will have to pay on the eventual sale of land. And secondly, I believe this budget has proposed a sunset clause for any MAT credit. So, probably if you can throw some light on, this 85 crores of credit which we had will remain or will have to be written off. Thank you.
Thank you, Vipul. Very good asking, a very finance tax question in this forum, but very relevant. With respect to the income tax, I think this is just an finance has come and is not yet been enacted, but is a matter of evaluations we are doing. Good part for us that 26 was the last year for our MAT credit. So thankfully, thanks to FM for considering this finance budget to end this as a sunset clause. So for us, from the next year, we are anyway migrating to the new regime. Okay. With respect to the sale of the assets and the working taxation, of course, we will take the right way how the best suited tax adjustments come. But there is, as you know, in the new provision has come that up to 25% of the MAT credit only you can apply and not less. But capital gain, only can be saved. Capital gain is a nature of separate. So if you have a loss, only in that year you can set off. Otherwise, you have to pay the tax. So we are monitoring, because now since we got a mandate for that, and ensure that will be the best tax adjustment for the capital gain.
So one other question which I had was in terms of the amount of raw material which primarily goes in the carbon zinc. Is it sort of the same number of, amount of raw material which also goes into alkaline?
No, so the chemistries are different. So, in short, if I were to understand your question, let's say very close to about one-third of the zinc batteries are composed of zinc, but the quantum of zinc in an alkaline battery is significantly lower.
That actually answers my question, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikas Srivastav, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A few questions. The first question is there a range of this Noida land? Is it a minimum of 250? Is there a valuation done? Is it 250 to 500? And how is the board, some assessment may have been made to put that figure of 250, I'm assuming it can't, it's not plucked from there. So I just wanted to know what is the range, and our debt is also a confirmation that our debt is 350 crores. Is that right?
Yeah, it's absolutely valid, Vikasji, and thank you very much, because I think quite some time you are asking this question, right, that what happens to that. And if you see that just a quarter back only the embargo ended and team put on place. So we got valuation done, and which is the valuation mean and median range considering board has given this mandate. So because there are a lot of factors has been considered, what is the recent sizes of sales has happened there, what is the circle rate available there, what is the market rate. So, and this this rate has come basis the valuation report submitted.
Okay, thank you. Next, you know, if somebody asked a question on, you know, is there a possibility? So while I do understand that, you know, you haven't come to a decision yet, but going forward, we have, you know, so much real estate and properties outside. Is it a possibility of you a little down the line that there'll be more rationalization and disinvestment? Is there a possibility? Is it something which will...
No, so absolutely valid point. As we said that recently we have done a first round of our realignment initiatives, and if you see 2nd of October only the embargo removed, and 5th of November board has formed a subcommittee, and basis this recommendation of this subcommittee. So at this point of time, all our plants are very much operational, and once the Noida Jammu facility comes up, we see how the things are coming. Definitely the next round of assessment will happen, whether the something will come out or not, but now this is going to be a part of our at least a yearly exercise, definitely.
Yeah, that is helpful. Now on the Noida factory, just to refresh everybody's memory, what is the capacity at 100%? And since, you know, what I hear from the call that you're going, it's not a pilot production, but you probably go into commercial production and immediately ramp up to 20-30%. Are we talking about this as about domestic consumption, or what is the, you know, your marketing team must have already started working in terms of white labeling both within India and outside India. What is the response? And the last question, in the light of RTM now being in order, most of your products, you know, things seem are now in a steady state. You know, I've been an old shareholder now for probably 6-7 years. When do you think we can get a real kicker on the CAGR top line growth? Are we ready for it? Could we be expecting, well, next 3 years, should we be expecting a 15% or, you know, what a range of 15 to 20% CAGR growth with the scale leading to higher EBITDA margins? Is there a 3-year target? Is there something you want to talk about in terms of a 2 to 3 years target?
Thank you, Vikasji. I think I want Nirvan to address, but I think one clarify. You said what about the Noida plant capacity? I think you mean Jammu plant, right?
No, I meant Jammu.
So the context completely changed. So just to put you that, you know, the practical capacity of this plant is around 350 million. Okay.
Okay.
And we have given a very bold statement of 20-30% utilization. Right now we are around 70 million type of number we are sitting. So definitely the way growth, our internal team, the market says that we are set up 30%, so definitely we'll go for. However, with respect to next 3 years and what is that, let Anil Bhajat, if you can add the light on that.
So my sense is it's early to call out on the 3 years, but if you were to look at our last 5 quarters, it has been steady growth, and the growth percentages have gone up, you know, consecutively over the last 5 quarters. And given that, you know, you've been a partner with this organization for a long time, the growth parameters have never been very strong in the last one decade. In fact, if you were to look and go back in time, so between the 2015 to 2022, these were all negative growth years from a top-line perspective, in spite of many hits and trials. With the new shareholding in place over the last 2 to 3 years, the CAGR was hovering at about 4-5%, essentially from a multiple transformations, culture, people, process, RTM, stabilization, SAP, etc. While doing that, if you see in the current year, and that's why the last 5 consecutive quarters following all of these, there has been steady increase in the growth on a percentage basis quarter on quarter. While doing that, I think we are also having strong headwinds in terms of commodity prices and dollar, and unfortunately not the best time for immediate projection of a 3 years, but looking in the short term, I quite see that we will be able to carry
this momentum forward, and from there we will figure out what are the other new categories that we will push it in to move ahead from the lower double digit side.
Okay, thank you for that. You know, just a number. So on the alkaline battery plant, we are talking about, you know, about a 70 million. So just for my understanding, how much of that is offsetting our internal consumption, which we were otherwise buying? And what is the percentage? And, you know, a little bit of light on how is the general response to your white labeling efforts, which I'm sure you're already putting in terms of the Jambu plant?
No, so what I mentioned, and you're absolutely right, that the white labeling, whether in India or outside, is an action that happens immediately after the plant sets up. So the way it will happen is that the entire quantity that we spoke about will be used for, you know, the domestic consumption. Over and above that, right, as the plant steadies up and all the quality parameters, etc., after the first 3 or 4 months is suitably settled, is when there will be multiple approaches for white labeling, and people who would want to make it in India and sell will then, that's the time we engage. See, we, it's not a big deal because we do white labeling for zinc anyway in India from a branded play point of view. And thus, we are only awaiting for the inauguration of the plant and stabilization before we access the rest of outside and inside for white labeling prospects.
Thank you. And how much time would it take for this inauguration and stabilization? Are we talking about the impression I get that it's a matter of a month or two? Is my understanding right?
Of course, like by March, our construction finishes up, probably the April and May, probably that next. But, you know, we are looking sooner. Once the plant is complete, let's inaugurate and start the business.
All right. And in terms of with our RTM brand marketing, is the time, besides your own internal products which you are pushing into the market, the option, the strong Everity brand and your RTM and the entire backbone ready, is our acquisition? You may or may not have anything in the pipeline today, but is that an option really? Because that is where a kicker could come. Is that an option? Are there such targets available in the market?
So the way I would put it is strong, sustained, structured growth of the core and maybe some potential increase in the allied categories, which the brand is quite capable of leveraging as we go into the future. We are, and as you would rightly say, that we are a very strong home care brand in India. So while I think that would remain a core focus over at least the next 12 to 18 months, looking at opportunities which fit into the essence of the brand and its potential allied spheres of growth is something that one would keep doing parallelly, as and when that happens, yes, it would be a kicker, as you rightly said.
That is all from me. You've been patient. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaste. Hope I'm audible.
You're audible.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. And firstly, thank you and congratulations to the entire team for walking the talk over the type of numbers that we have exhibited even during the lean season for the company and the industry where we operate, if my understanding is correct. Sir, firstly, pertaining to the Jammu investment, total investment, how much have we done currently and what is still pending to be done, and what would be our working capital requirement at the time when the plant will be running at optimum level?
So, we have approval around 180 crore. 90% odd has already been done. because as we say that we are just going to complete the construction by the March. Construction is almost complete and the trials are going on. So investment is almost done. With respect to working capital, we don't see beyond our average because we are very frugal in terms of the working capital. So it is our average company average is 15%. I don't see anything going beyond at this point of time unless until some major strategic raw materials holding we have to do. Initially, it could be a little bit higher because we will start at a zero, but average you see like, you know, 20% could be the 15 to 20% could be that average range.
15-20% off, sir? What number?
So whatever the working capital for that, whatever the requirement for this plant, because our average working capital is 15%, okay? So now see whatever billing we are supposed to do, I'm taking a number, suppose we do a 100 crore billing from that plant, maybe 20, 25 crore rupees could be a 30 crore max be a working capital from that plant.
And as our MD sir was mentioning about that the requirement for zinc would be significantly lower for the alkaline battery, so key raw material components for alkaline and how have we done the arrangement for the same, sir?
So as it is a different chemistry, so our procurement teams are secured. So few of the materials are imported, that has been already secured, and some local materials.
Okay. Can you give only the colors of key RM required for alkaline battery?
So the alkaline has multiple. So from graphite to acetylene black to, you know, zinc powder, etc. So Vivek is absolutely right. Majority of it is sourceable locally. Some parts of it we are obviously moving in from a little bit from parts of Europe and some from Asia. But there is, unlike in the zinc batteries where there is a high commodity volatility directly impacting the category going up and down, here the bifurcations are much more smaller, and thus a single raw material impacting because of commodity volatility, etc., will be much lower.
Correct. Just to conclude on the Jammu partner, incentives were, I think so, also a part when we envisaged the investment, although I think so because of some packages, we were not in a position to articulate the same. So any new update on the same that we may receive in terms of GST rollback, GST reimbursement or anything you want to share on that front, sir, on date?
It is a status quo at this time. We are continuously following up. There is a very, the department is all saying that, you know, give a hope, and our continuous follow-up going on. We are also keeping the hope. But, you know, till that time we get the registration certificates, you know, we can say that we are still awaiting, but that is the status at this point. But, you know, if you see, the Jammu was always under the incentive from post 2000. So some form of incentive, everybody is assuring us. So we are closely following up because anyway, once the production start only, that will be. So we are also keeping our finger crossed and we are continuously following up, monitoring to get this benefit.
Okay. And lastly, sir, on the CCI part, when is the next hearing scheduled, sir?
It is the mid of March.
Okay. And the last, it was in January itself, I think so, when we heard in the quarter two con call, I think so, we have given a date. Yeah. So any update that happened in the month of January or it is status quo?
It was in November, probably. November.
Okay.
So there's a partial hearing. It is a partial hearing. The balance will happen in the March.
Okay, sir. And one point I missed, sir. Have we figured out some number for the Noida lease part also, the sale? I think so. It's a leased hold land. So it will be transferring of lease. So have we figured in some numbers also? One of the participants was alluding to the fact I missed it totally. Can you give me some more color?
Yeah, so we are looking for, you know, yesterday only board has guided us that, you know, after looking into various committee recommendations and valuations and all, that they have given us a 250 crore rupees a number to look for this property.
Okay. Correct, sir. And as we are now, sir, concluding, will be the fourth quarter, sir, we are on track to deliver in the similar set, since that the rupee depreciation and the commodities wages must are impacting our cost of material. So how well are our team prepared to end or conclude this financial year on track as quarter three and the previous quarters have been? How confident are we, sir?
We left out with only 45 days or 50-60 days for the quarter maximum. So as Anirban has already mentioned in his opening remark, that we are poised with a full momentum to grow and to deliver premiumizations, and that premiumization could help us to get the margin. So we are poised at this conference because growth momentum is on full task for the team.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. My best wishes and all the best. Hope to connect again, sir. Dhanyavaad, sir.
Thank you. Dhanyavaad.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikas Srivastav, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I missed the subsidy bit in Jammu. Is it a capital subsidy which gets based in terms of correlated to the sales made from the Jammu plant? Or is there any other subsidy besides that too? Is there
our size of investment will not go for a capital investment because it's a much lower scale. It is a GST link incentive has been proposed there. So it is not 50 crore below, I believe there is a capital subsidy, but since our investment is much higher than that, so there is some GST link incentive was planned at this point of time. And we are in the queue for that. There are several applications are there and we are constantly following up. We have filed the application well within the timelines, but government's allocation of the budget we are waiting for on this particular specific thing.
So there may be a time lag, and also the subsidy will be received, obviously, but it will still be linked to sales, right? So it's GST linked.
Yeah. So see, there is a package. There was a package of a specific amount. That amount has exhausted. So the department has written for an additional amount. There is no such additional amount has been received, but the industries are following up because when we invest, you know, we don't know when the package the limit is there or not. So they're hopeful. We are meeting the officials continuously, and they are saying that, you know, be hopeful because government also want to promote the investment in Jammu. So we are constantly following up. We are tracking the development very closely. So that is the status at this point of time. So we did not get an approval of the registration. It's called a registration under the national incentive scheme of the Jammu government. So still the registration is pending, but we are constantly following up with them.
What is the estimate of the amount, our internal estimate in terms of what should be the quantum once it's approved?
So it's linked to the GST. So basically there is a GST reimbursement happens. It depends on the sales of your, is related to the revenue of the, from that plant.
Yeah, but in terms of a forecast, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
So there is a, this is linked to the investment on the plant and machinery investment.
Correct.
So the provision goes that up to the 3x of the investment you can get. 3x of the investment you can get as a
3x?
Yeah.
So are we, and over a period of time, so that's a substantial amount. 3x of the, you've invested about 150 crores in the plant, right?
So it will go only on the plant and machinery. It is not on the entire civil and that. If you take 100 crore, if you say 100 crore, right? If you just take a 100 crore number also, so it is a substantial investment. You are right that if the benefit comes, it will be substantial in coming forward.
All right. Thank you so much. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to the manager for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking the time out to join us on this call today. I hope we've adequately answered all your questions.
If you still have more queries, please reach out to our investor relations team and we'll be happy to address those. Look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Everready Industries India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.